Well, good morning, everyone, and thank all of you for being here. As always, it is an honor and a privilege to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, this lesson is the most important lesson that you may never hear, and it will also help you to think about where you're going to spend eternity, if you listen close. The question that I put before you this morning is, will the good people of all churches be saved? Will the good people of all churches be saved? This is a question that is met on almost every corner. The average person is quite puzzled and at a loss to explain the situation of those who are honest, yet belonging to different religious bodies, believing different doctrines, and following different practices in a religious way. The least embarrassing way out, if a person does not have the Bible for an answer, is to say that all people are saved and all religions are saved, and regardless of their religious affiliation. That's the easy way out. That is the easy way out. That's what a Baptist preacher told me one time when we were having a discussion. He said, all churches, people of all churches will be saved. So let us face this question honestly and fairly in the light of the divine revelation. And apart from the Bible, no one can know who is saved now nor will be saved in the hereafter. That's all we got. The Bible. That's our guide. First, what we think about the question will not settle it. All Bible questions must be settled by the Bible and not by what we think. Second, neither can it be settled by our feelings. Yet many depend wholly upon their feelings for their religious practices and position. Third, what our grandparents taught us in the past or think and feel now will not give us a safe answer. And fourth, the creeds and the conferences of men cannot settle the question. And fifth, to whom then can we go? Where can we turn to find an answer that is safe and sound? What a person must do to be saved, to which church a person must belong to please the Lord, what a person must practice in order to please the Lord, and if the good people in any religious body can be saved, brethren and friends, these are the questions. All must be determined from what the Bible teaches. All these questions must be determined by what the Bible teaches. Then how are we to be judged? Well, let's come with me, if you would, to John, the 12th chapter, and look at verse 48. This is how we will be judged, brethren. John 12 and verse 48. Let's hear the words of our Lord when he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word, that's the Bible, brethren, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. If that's not enough, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, if you would. And let's look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So, brethren and friends, let us turn to God's word for an answer. Meanwhile, laying aside all of our personal ideas with a willingness to be led by God's word. We cannot arrive at a correct answer to this question unless we're willing to accept some fundamental points which the Bible clearly teaches. First, men must do God's will to be saved. That's the first thing. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 21. Very familiar passage to most Bible students. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Jesus said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but There's that word but. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, in this same chapter, I want you to look with me at verses 24 through 27, where Jesus gives the parable of the two builders. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. He who hears and does the words of Christ is building on the rock. He who does not obey Christ is building on the sand. Now please turn over to Matthew, the 17th chapter. God's will, brethren, for people today is revealed by Christ. We're commanded to hear Him as we read in Matthew 17 and verse 5, where the Bible says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Christ chose and he trained and qualified 12 apostles who were sent the Holy Spirit to guide them in all truth in binding and loosing on earth the things that are now bound and loosed in heaven. Come with me to John, the 16th chapter. John chapter 16, let's look at verse 13. Our Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he says in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I want you to come back with me once again to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16, and in verse 19, Jesus said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Since men must, and I mean must, do God's will to be saved, and since only those who do His will have a promise of entrance into the kingdom, then there's a number of inevitable conclusions which follow. And the first is, men cannot be saved merely because they're good. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes chapter 20, chapter 7 and verse 20, he says, surely there is not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Paul told the Romans that there is none righteous, not one. Romans 3:10. And again, Paul told the Romans in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hence the major premise that the good people of all churches will be saved breaks down when tested by the Bible. If men can be saved on their own goodness, then Christ died in vain. And we know He didn't. Jesus prayed, and you remember this, He prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass. It did not pass. Therefore, it was not possible for God to save the world without the death and suffering, both mental and physical, of His Son Jesus. Since we cannot be saved on our own righteousness, we must submit to the righteousness of God. David said in Psalms 119 and verse 172, he said, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Turn to Acts 10, if you would, and let's look at verse 34 and 35, especially 34. Acts 10 and verse 34. As Peter began his sermon to Cornelius in his house, he said in verse 34, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. Cornelius was a good man. He was a good man morally, but he was told to send for Peter, who would tell him the words whereby he might be, he and his house might be saved. Now look at Acts 11 and verse 14. Acts 11 and verse 14. Turn over. He says, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" Turn back to, if you would, to Acts 10, and we'll look at verse 48. This one blows my mind. I do not understand why the denominational world, when they read this, claims that baptism is not essential to salvation. Peter, before Peter concluded the message, he commanded, understand now, this is not just a suggestion, you can do this if you want. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Therefore, we can conclude that baptism is part of the righteousness. One of the commands to which men must submit before God will accept them. The second point, it takes more than faith to be saved. Someone may be ready to admit that a person cannot be saved on his own goodness, and if you do, then you admit that your major premise is false. But then some insist that all who believe in Christ as their Savior, regardless of church affiliation, will be saved. Well, now turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. Think about this, brethren, when we read this. In John chapter 1, we see that the believer has the right, think about it, now, he has the right or the power to become a child of God. He has a right, the believer has a right or the power to become a child of God. John wrote in verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Faith only will not save us. Hence a person is not a child of God merely because he believes. We also read that many believed on Christ. They believed him to be the Savior of the world, the Son of God, but they would not confess him. They wouldn't confess him. Again, the Apostle John wrote in verse 42 of chapter 12, he said, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him." The chief rulers believed on him. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." They believed, but they would not confess him before men. Why? Because they wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. So I ask you, are these people saved? Were they saved? Well, certainly not. Certainly not. They not only will not be saved, but they will be denied by Christ in the last day. How do we know this? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 33. The Bible says in verse 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So if you're ashamed of Jesus Christ on this earth, you refuse to confess him or deny him, on that fateful day, that judgment day, you will be denied by the Father. No one can come to Christ unless he is lost. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." Luke 19:10. No one can come to Christ unless he is a believer. Remember John 1 and verse 12 that we read earlier? "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even them that believe on his name." Remember that? Hence, the lost, the penitent believers, are those who are fit subjects to become children of God. No one can accept Christ as a personal Savior by faith only. It takes both faith and baptism. Come with me to Mark the 16th chapter, if you would. Mark 16, very familiar passage. We use this an awful lot here. Mark 16. And verse 16. Let's read this together. Jesus said, now brethren and friends, please understand this. This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking. It's not an apostle. It's not an inspired writer. It is not me. It's not any man. It is our Lord Jesus saying in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Is that hard to understand? It sure makes me wonder why some 18 million Baptists right this morning say baptism is not essential to salvation. How can they say that? Turn back to Acts chapter 2. I know most of us in Acts 2 remember what Peter told the multitude on Pentecost after preaching the first gospel sermon. They asked him in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? They didn't know what to do to be saved. They had never been told anyone. You remember Peter's answer? Well, look at verse 38 of Acts 2. Now remember, Peter had the privilege of being the first ever in this world to announce the terms of admission into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what he told the multitude in Acts 2 and verse 38. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In 29 simple plain words were told what one must do to be saved and enter the kingdom of heaven. How simple. How simple and plain God's word on salvation is. The third point. It takes more than being religious to be saved. I want us to go back to Matthew the 7th chapter. Matthew the 7th chapter. You may remember, we read verse 21 earlier. Now I want to read verses 22 and 23. Verse 22, Jesus is speaking again, and he said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? What's going to happen to them? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity, and worketh iniquity. So, brethren and friends, we can learn from this passage that many who are religious will be lost. Many who are religious enough to pray and work will be lost. It takes more than prayer to be saved. And it takes more than just working in some church. The will of God must be done. To reject the doctrine of Christ and teach some other doctrine is evil. And those who are guilty are evil workers. A person does not have to be wicked or immoral to be guilty of iniquity. Those who have been religiously wrong will be turned away at the judgment as workers of iniquity. The fourth point. It takes more than being honest and sincere to be saved. The Apostle Paul lived in all good conscience. Remember what he said in Acts 23 and verse 1? He said he wasn't guilty of anything. He said he lived, his conscience was clear, he said. Acts 23 and verse 1. Yet at one time, he was a violator of and persecutor of the church. He said he verily thought that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Christ. He was honest, but he was honestly wrong. A person today may be in that same position, honest but honestly wrong. Therefore, it takes more than being honest and sincere to be saved. Proverbs 16 and verse 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, But the end thereof are the ways of death. A person better not risk his eternal destiny on a way that just seems right to him. Better not. Paul commands that we prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. We read about that in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Jesus said, those who are to enter the kingdom are those that do God's will. Not just good morally, or active religiously in some religion, or of just good honest convictions. So brethren and friends, we had better study our Bible and understand God's will and then do God's will. That's what we have to do to get to heaven. The fifth point, ignorance cannot save us. Ignorance won't save. Some think that if a person does the best he knows in it, he will be saved in. God today does not overlook ignorance as he did in ages past. How do I know that? Let me prove it to you. Look with me at Acts 17. Acts 17, let's look at verse 30 and 31. Here's what Paul says about ignorance. He said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. There's that word, but. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Ignorance cannot save us, brethren. Ignorance of the Bible won't save you. Christ was crucified through ignorance. Remember that? Acts 3:17. He was crucified through ignorance. But the ones who did it were guilty nevertheless. Paul charged the Jews of his days of being ignorant of God's righteousness. Turn to Romans 10 and verse 3 with me. He told the Jews in Romans 10 and verse 3, he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto what? The righteousness of God. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. One must know and obey the truth to be made free from sin. The gospel must be preached and it must be obeyed. There is no promise that a person can be saved by just doing the best that he knows. He must know and do God's will to be saved. And I ask you, brethren and friends, how do we know God's will? How do we learn God's will? As far as I know, there is only one way, and that is to study, study, study. Study your Bible. That is the only way you'll ever know God's will. And if you have trouble studying the Bible by yourself and don't understand it, give me a call. We'll come with you and study with you at any time. Now, brethren and friends, we now know that those who do the will of God will be saved. But one cannot do God's will regardless of how sincere he may be, and in a religious body not found in the revealed will of God that teaches doctrine contrary to his will and worships contrary to divine revelation. Therefore, hear me now, the good people of all churches will not be saved. Some get furious when they hear this, but they will not study their Bible. They will not look at it as we are this morning. This conclusion that all the good people of all churches will not be saved, this conclusion is based on the premises laid down by our Lord Jesus Christ and on the fact that the Bible is the final and complete revelation of God's will to man. There is no promise in the Bible that the good people of all churches will be saved. No one should teach that which is not revealed in the Bible. Therefore, no one has Bible authority to teach such doctrine. In God and in His mercy, If God, and in His mercy, sees fit to accept those who have not done His will, that'll be His business. But no one can have a written hope or assurance of acceptance in disobedience. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Familiar passage, my friends. Most of us know this by heart. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. It's very simple. Christ has only promised to save the obedient, to save those that are obedient to the will of God. Verse 9 says, "And being made perfect," He, that's Jesus, "He became the author of eternal salvation," listen now, "unto all that obey Him." Who? All that obey Him. That's who's going to be saved. No one can obey Christ by entering a religious body or church that Jesus did not build, or wears an unscriptural name, or teaches doctrine contrary to the Bible, and worships contrary to divine revelation for Christians as set forth in the New Testament. You can't be saved doing that. Therefore, the good people of all churches will not be saved. Why? Because they're good? No, because they have not obeyed Christ. Just that simple. And it bothers me too. I have relatives right in my family that are in the denominational world, and it bothers me. They won't listen. Brethren and friends, that brings us to our last point. No one can do God's will, obey Christ, and fulfill His religious duties except in the church of Christ, the Lord's church. Christ built only one church. "Upon this rock I will build my church," said Jesus in Matthew 16:18, and it is His spiritual body. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians 1, let's look at verses 22 and 23. Paul told the Ephesians, verse 22 and verse in chapter 1. He says, "And put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head of all things to the church." Listen now. "The church, which is His body." The church is His body. "And the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." He is the head over His body, His church. That's what He told the Colossians in Colossians 1:18. He built no other church, and He is the head of no other church. Christ's church did not, when it was established, nor does it now, consist of a multitude of different denominations, wearing different names, believing and teaching different creeds. All other religious bodies either add to or take away from divine revelation. They fall short in their doctrine of how to be saved, or they corrupt their worship by innovations, or they fail to maintain the scriptural pattern of a congregational independence. Nearly all religious bodies teach that a sinner is saved by faith only, without and before baptism in water for the remission of sins. However, you remember we read earlier what Peter declared in Acts 2:38 when he says, "Repent and be baptized." Repent came first, baptism second. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Paul didn't say, or Peter didn't say here, "You're saved by faith only." Wouldn't this have been the place to put it in the Bible? "You're saved by faith only"? No, he says you need to repent. If that's all you had to do, he didn't stop there, did he? He said, no, you had to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the only way you can remit those sins. If you do that, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which I believe is heaven. So my friends, since this is a divine commandment, again, it is not a suggestion, it is a divine command that stands between the sinner and his salvation, when Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. The majority of the religious people, though honest, have not done the thing that Jesus demands must be done to be saved. Turn with me to one final passage, Romans 6. Romans 6, if you would. And when we get there, we're going to read verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul told the Romans in verse 3, he said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also in the likeness of His resurrection." Brethren and friends, it is definitely taught in Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 that we just read that we are baptized into the death of Christ. It was here we reached the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. This is where we reach it, right here. We're at this point made free from sin. Paul here declares that we must obey from the heart, that includes the understanding, the emotions, and all form of doctrine. He says in verse 18 of Romans 6, he says, "And being then made free from sin." When you do those things, and then you're made free from sin. And finally, brethren and friends, most religious bodies will bind on their members a name that is not found in the Bible. Therefore, we confidently affirm that the Church of Christ is the only body, only religious body, in which a person can be scripturally baptized, be a Christian and a Christian only, and worship and serve God in harmony with divine revelation without addition or subtraction. Sometimes I worry. I say, have I told people enough that they need to, what they need to do to be saved? Because I don't want anybody to come to me on the judgment day and say, "Jerry didn't tell me what I need to do to be saved, so how did I know?" But I'm going to tell you again. I try to tell you every week, but I'm going to tell you again. The sinner, or the alien sinner, or the unsaved person, must first hear the gospel. And the gospel is explained as being the death of Christ for man's sins, His burial and His resurrection. These are the great facts of the gospel. And they establish the great truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Then this sinner must believe this gospel if he hears it. Then this unsaved person must confess his faith in Christ. Just as the Son of God, they must confess their faith in Christ, that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just as the eunuch did in Acts 8. And then we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. We've read Acts 2:38 two or three times today, but it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." So baptism is a burial of the body in water and a resurrection to walk in newness of life. When the sinner obeys or meets these conditions of pardon, he is thus recognizing Christ as his Savior for sins and accepting Him as his Savior from sin. And for those who have been baptized, there's a few things you must do. It's God's will that they wear the name Christian. No human name should be added. It is God's will that they observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. It is God's will that they give bountifully of their means on the first day of the week. It is God's will that they pray without ceasing. It is God's will that we use vocal music in our worship and not instruments. And not only does God want us to worship Him in accord with divine revelation, but He also wants us to live a clean and upright life morally. So I ask you, my dear friend, can there be any question now of what you must do to be saved? Can there be any question in your heart what you must do to be saved? I do beg you, and I plead with you, to come forward. Come forward and submit your life to King Jesus and be obedient to Him to the day He dies. Remembering all the time, if you miss heaven, you've missed everything. Can we help anyone in any way make their life right with God? If so, please come now as we stand and as we sing.